Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer. We're going to have a fun show. We're going to play Christmas music throughout the day. Some you know, some you may not know. Everybody, does everyone know that one, Curtis? You know that one?
Yeah, that's Wham, Last Christmas.
Aren't you too young to know Wham?
Yeah, I know Wham.
You know Wham. Roger, you know Wham?
I know Wham from back when Wham was Wham.
Wow. What was your favorite Wham song?
Oh, I don't know. I had kids then.
Careless Whisper.
That was their first hit, wasn't it?
That was a great song. That was Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Exactly. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. Roger, along for the news. Curtis is producing. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. Roger, should I introduce myself to the audience a little bit? What do you think?
I think so, because, I mean, it's been a while since you've been on that side of the mic. Most of the time, you're on the other side of the mic, helping other people look good.
That is true. Just like Roger, but Roger being on the air, I'm a radio lifer, been around for many years, working here at WGN Radio. I've been producing shows, mostly, you know, and many times in sports, and I've been producing the Hamp OB and Kaz show.
That's right.
People want to call up and talk about how crazy the Bears season is and how fun it is. We can do that, but we're going to try to concentrate mostly on Christmas today.
Yeah.
Other things about me, I also work at Zany's Comedy Club. I'm the publicist for Zany's Comedy Club. So a lot of times you might hear people talk about me or you know, I'll be on talking about Zany's comedians who are coming around on the station or throughout the community.
How many clubs do they have in the Chicago area now?
There are three clubs. There's the original on Wells Street, celebrating its 40th year this year.
Wow.
There's one in St. Charles, which has been around for about 25 years, and then there's a newer one about 6 years in Rosemont over in that entertainment district. So thank you for asking.
Well, I knew about the first one. I mean, everyone knows about that, like, has set the trend of comedy clubs around the country. I kind of knew about the other one, the St. Charles one, that's been around long enough, but that new one I wasn't aware of.
Well, the St. Charles one, though, is a great club.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know it, especially city dwellers, because it's so far away.
Yeah.
It's about 30 miles. It's right on North Avenue.
Oh, it's easy to get to.
Yeah. It's just it takes a while.
And, yeah.
You know, why go out that way if you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
And I live out there. I live out there.
And so if you live out in that area, it's close. It's easy to get to, which I think is great on Zany's part that they've spread out so much, especially that new one at the Rosemont Entertainment Center. You've got everything over there.
It's a regular little small town, you know, it's like a Disneyfied small town.
Yeah.
But it is a small town. You have bars and restaurants and taverns, and it is a lot of fun there.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's great. Now we know where we can go to when you've got new comics into town.
Exactly. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to do today. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about Christmas a lot. We're going to have some celebrity guests coming up. One of my comic favorites will be joining us after the commercial break coming up in a few moments. We're going to talk to some friends of mine from around the world. We're going to talk to some people in England. We're going to talk to some people in the Middle East to find out how they celebrate the holidays. Do they celebrate the holidays? We'll find out. Also, you know, it's that time of year. We're going to start thinking about, as we're eating and eating and eating, what we're going to do for the new year. Are we going to have a resolution, or what's going to be the solution to our finally losing that weight and getting healthy. We're going to talk to a good friend of mine who just put out a book to discuss that very thing. And we'll be playing Christmas music. We're going to be taking calls. You can give us a call or send us a text at 312-981-7200. We're going to get that right. 312-981-7200. Anything else from you, Roger, right now?
No, I think you pretty much set the table.
You think I did it? You think I did?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really want to learn from a person like you, because you've been here, you're on the air, and I have such big shoes to fill with Dave Plyer, who's a madman, and he's so good at what he does. And I know the audience is probably going, "Who the heck is this guy?"
No, we want Dave. No, I'll tell you. Since we're keeping the Christmas theme, I think you have set a feast of entertainment on the Christmas table for the next 3 hours.
Wow. I like that. A feast of Christmas entertainment.
Yes, sir.
I'm
ready to chow down.
Wow. You know what? I saw food on the counter. Was that left from Friday?
No. Oh, the Friday stuff is gone.
Okay. I saw cake, though.
Well, that was from Friday.
Okay.
But cake is, like, you know, universal. I don't think that cake goes, well, it could, but...
Curtis, you ate some of it.
Dave Neal, who brought in pizza earlier. At least that was what David Jennings told us earlier in the night.
Yeah, the pizza is fresher.
Fresher.
Yeah.
Cheese is fine out. Cheese is fine.
Yeah, okay.
As I said, give us a call at 312-981-7200. That is Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by the immortal Carla Thomas. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer here on WGN Radio, ably assisted by Curtis Koch. I am sorry.
Second time.
You can call me Geyser 17 times now. Curtis Koch, producing Roger Badish in the news. We're going to be playing some Christmas music throughout the show. And as I said, that was Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas. That was a big hit early in the 60s. Carla Thomas had one of the first big hits called Gee Whiz on Stax Records. And her father was the immortal Rufus Thomas, who had the song Walkin' the Dog and Do the Funky Chicken. And just a wonderful soul singer. And, of course, they had to turn it into a beautiful Christmas song. Speaking of beautiful Christmas songs and holiday wrapping and holiday packages, joining me on the phone is my good friend Vince Maranto, comedy legend in Chicago. How you doing, Vince?
Oh, wow. I'm doing great because I just finished watching the Blackhawks game from tonight.
Well, tell us about it. For those, of course, it aired here, but tell us what you saw in the game.
What I saw was the Hawks winning their third game in a row.
Can you believe it?
And they beat their last all three of those wins were against the second, third, and fourth place team in their division. So pretty cool.
Well, Vince is he performs at Zany's all the time. So if you've been to Zany's, you've probably seen Vince. He's been a comedian for over 30 years in Chicago, and he performs around the country and the world. So you've probably seen him at some point. But what you may not know, as he is a hockey fanatic. In fact, so much so, if you run into him while it might be on stage or something, don't tell me the score. Tell me how you go about that.
You know, it's so funny. At the Zany's in St. Charles, at the Pheasant Run Resort, there was a new server one time. I introduced myself. She goes, "Vince, oh, wait, you're the guy we're not supposed to tell the Hawks score to, right? It's part of their training." Part of their training is, okay, there's a comedian named Vince, and if the Hawks are playing, you don't tell them what the score is.
Well, that is so funny because, there have been times when I've popped into the club and I'll be listening to the game over to the club and you are like, stop, don't tell me.
Ixnay, right.
But we were just together Monday night at a holiday party, and you were telling me that you have kind of changed it a little bit. You changed your attitude about that.
Yeah, for a little bit there, but I've gone back to the old ways now. But for a little bit there, because of what they've gone through, it used to be don't tell me the score. Then for like a lot of the season, it's been, you know, tell me the score so I know if I should waste my time or not watching the game. But I'm back to the old ways.
You're back. And in fact, one thing, a little thing that we do and you've got a bunch of people doing is Vince collects pictures of Hawks-themed license plates.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
How did that happen? Because you see the Hawks license plate, but a lot of them, you know, instead of just numbers or something, they say a word. They may say Q-stash or Sharpie or something like that.
Sure, there's like check them, you know, ice it, cross-check, you know, stuff like that. And it's funny, I was just telling my son about this the other day. I saw one at a gas station parking lot. It was, I forgot what it was, but I took a picture of it and then drove away. Well, these two guys saw me take the picture, and then they started following me. And then they came around and they took my picture, and they kept following me and taking pictures of my car. I'm like, dude, it's just your license plates. It's no big deal. And then finally, after about like 7 miles, they gave up and drove back away.
Well, I saw one near my parents' house, and so if I see one, I'll take a picture and I'll text it to them. And it said Brian Campbell was playing for the Hawks at the time. I took the picture, and then I proceeded to drive to my parents' house. 2 minutes later, someone's knocking on my parents' door demanding to know why I was at the end of their driveway taking a picture of their license.
I know. You gotta be sneaky. A couple times people go, hey, what are you doing? And I show them. I go, hey, look, I collect Hawks license plates, and then I'll show them. I'll, you know, scroll through the 100 and whatever I have. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You know, so.
Well, that's what got me out of a butt whipping is that I was able to show the series of pictures that I've sent to you through the years.
Right. And again, like I always tell everybody, for the love of God, don't risk your life trying to take a picture going 70 miles an hour. It's not worth it.
Well, if you see a good one on the Eisenhower, you got to chase after him, right?
That's true.
So this is the holidays. What do you do for the holidays? What does a traveling comedian do during the holidays?
Well, I had my show tonight at Zany's. And that's it. I'm through the it's like the NHL. I have the Christmas break going on right now. And what I do is, as you probably know from Facebook, for years now on Christmas Eve I ring the bell at the Jewel. If you're at the Jewel in Algonquin on Randall Road, you will see me ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. I've been doing this for the last 10 years, and that's how I start off my Christmas Eve. I do that. Then I go and check maybe a couple of stores to see if there's any last-minute sales. And then I come home and I play Christmas music and pour myself an adult beverage and wrap all the presents and make myself a nice dinner.
Well,
and then
here's something about stores. My wife and I went to Michael's to pick up something for the house, and they're already at 70% off for their Christmas items.
Already.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I've got, because I have a lot of Christmas stuff, and people go, oh, man, I have a lot of Christmas stuff and a lot of, like, Blackhawks and Bears stuff, and people go, like, how much does that cost you? I'm like, no, man, you get it when the teams are horrible and it's real cheap, or you get it when they're, you know, for Christmas, you get it when it's on sale.
So you're performing at which Zany's right now?
All right, I did Rosemont tonight, but the 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st, I will be at the St. Charles. So I'll be there from the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or whatever those days are. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is Monday New Year's Eve? Whatever that
is. Monday is New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so I'll be at New Year's Eve, and I'll be working that whole week. I'm working with Pat McGann, on Sunday.
Well, Pat McGann, everybody, he's a regular guest on a variety of shows here on WGN. You see him on WGN-TV. You see him on WCIU-TV. He's really jumped ahead. What do you think of a trajectory of someone like Pat McGann?
Well, plus he did Colbert. He did a couple of Letterman's. He's Pat's just a great guy. Great guy and a funny guy. That's who I work with tonight, as a matter of fact, in Rosemont. I work with him and Jason Cross, so we had a blast out there. But, then for January, I'll be the house MC all of January in Rosemont.
So Zany's puts comics, to be the MC for a month at a time, and that's where many people see him. So you can see him in January in Rosemont. So,
can I ask a real quick question?
Of course, Roger.
Vince, we've never met in person, but I stalk you.
Yeah, we are Facebook buddies. Yeah,
I know.
We are.
Tell me the story behind your afternoon or evening or dinner time beer. You're always posting, and you say, "Where am I?"
Okay, I have the as I call it, either the 3:33 or the 4:33 salute, and it's always it's mostly on Mondays because that's the days that I have off.
Okay,
and I'll have it. Sometimes it'll be like, "Where am I at?" Sometimes, "What's the beer?" Sometimes I make a games like that. But no, it's my little tip off to the start of the week is my little 4:33 salute.
Yeah, I always look forward to it.
Oh, cool. That's good. Yeah. And and also too, let me as you very well know, I always say to be an official sponsor
mm-hmm.
of the 4:33 salute, just send me a beer and your name shows up as a sponsor.
Any kind of beer you're looking for?
Yeah, free.
Free beer.
That's my favorite kind.
Well, this is Vince Maranto, comedian extraordinaire. You can see him at Zany's throughout the end of the year, plus throughout January in Rosemont. Thank you very much for staying up and helping me start the show tonight, Vince. I really appreciate it.
Good. Have a good show. We'll see you guys.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Vince Morano, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer on WGN Radio. Curtis Koch is producing. And now it's time for the news with Roger Badish.
Hey, kids, gather around. Haywood's got a little song for you here. Oh, I just got a message from old St. Nick way up in Christmas land. And he says the toys for good girls and boys are being made as planned. There's a truck for little Billy and a dolly for Molly, dear. But you ain't getting diddly squat because you're really messed up this year.
No, you ain't getting diddly squat because you're really messed up this year.
Welcome to WGN Radio. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer. And that was a Christmas song you may not have ever heard before. That's by comedian Haywood Banks, and it's called You Ain't Getting Diddly Squat.
That's my new favorite Christmas song.
Oh, excellent. Roger Badish with the news. I was going through, I worked with Haywood years ago when I worked in Indianapolis, and was always a fun song to hear.
That's
and
he's hilarious.
From an interesting character.
That's
and an interesting comic. And speaking of comics and interesting people, you hear them on the WGN Morning Show right here with our WGN Radio Steve Cochran Show. It's John DeCoste. Thank you for staying up and joining me today.
Oh, now wait a minute. If Vince was the comedian, am I the guest from the Middle East?
No, the Middle East guest will come up in about an hour.
Oh, am I from London?
You yes, calling from London during the Blitzkrieg.
Okay.
Let's have a report. What is going on in London? Going
Rick,
to our correspondent, John DeCoste.
Rick, there's bombs all over the place, and I can't find a subway. So I don't know how this is going to work out.
Is there a Jimmy John's? Jimmy John's anywhere?
I'm in the Jimmy John's as we speak.
Ah. That's good. You are safe then.
Todd, you know how to help.
John DeCause, thank you for staying up. Rick? I'm excellent.
Oh, no. This is normally when I go to bed.
Well, how does that work, being a comic and having a family and children? How did that work for you?
That's a good question. No, I've been married 33 years, and it's kind of funny. I still travel a lot. I was gone all of December for 3 weeks, and then I travel again in January and February. But my son has grown up and out, as is yours, Rick. I thought Ricky was going to be on today.
He decided he was going to hang out at some friend's house and play video games.
Oh, my God. He had a choice to be on the radio with his dad or play video games. Well, Merry Christmas, Rick.
Merry Christmas, exactly.
No,
another cold slap in the face. Christmas magic.
I know. Is Kim listening right now?
Of course she is not. My wife,
of
Kim, she likes her sleep time.
Oh,
she'll,
wow.
She'll listen
okay.
to the podcast. She'll listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's a good call. No, actually, so will I. So I'm not really on now. I'm just
no, you're not. This is tape delayed. Exactly.
That's tape delayed. No, that's good. Yeah. No, Vince and I started together. So Mike Toomey, Vince, Tim Banker, and myself, all started back in 82. So we've been, this is what, 36 years for us.
Well, speaking of Mike Toomey, who you see on Channel 9 Morning News, a guy we've right. all known for many, many years. I grew up with him. He lived behind me. I know we were speaking just a moment ago about family life and comedians. I know when his children were young, he kept them on his schedule. Where
well,
he would,
you know. Yeah,
and then once they got to school age, they had to start, having right. a civilian schedule.
Well, that's funny you say that because I, Mike and I talked about this. I did the same thing. I would stay up. Now, here's the thing: I would stay up later when I was younger. Now, and I think I told you this the other day, I go to bed pretty early. You still go to bed late.
I do go to bed late. I do. Yeah, I'm usually up until around this time. Yes.
My wife Jackie and I'm like, oh my God, it's late. What is it? Like 8:15?
Oh, well, that's my wife. Yeah. So, you know, and there's too many Hallmark movies to watch now, so I have to watch, Christmas at Graceland with Kelly Pickler again.
I was going to say, did you see the one where the overworked businesswoman from New York is engaged and then goes back to her small town and falls in love with the guy who lives in the town? Did you ever see that one?
Was that the one where the guy who lives in the town was also owned a bookshop and/or a coffee
yeah.
shop?
Yeah,
I have not caught that one, but I heard it was a good one.
I know. I think that's every other one.
Yes. Well, what do you think about that? What do you think? And people, give us a call as well. 312-981-7200. What is it about those Hallmark movies that it's kind of like a televised crack. We can't turn away, or at least I can't turn away.
No,
I have to watch them.
And it's so funny. And I was, like I said, I was out of town for 3 weeks, and at the hotel they had the Hallmark channel, and I get sucked into those each and every time. And I'm telling you, I know what's going to happen. I know exactly where this is going, and there's never a twist. It's always the same ending, but I can't stop watching.
Well, there's never a twist, but there's always a near kiss.
Right.
You have the near kiss.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Or they both drop something on the floor and they stare at one another for 2 seconds.
Oh, that's
knowing. They almost bump their heads and they stare at one another. But then it always ends up very positive. And I want to live in some of these towns that the Hallmark people are in.
Well, there are a number of towns.
Idyllic Christmas
town. You know, there's
town.
A town that you know of very well right here that reminded me of a Christmas town. I was up, and you've performed at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. And walking through
yeah.
Crystal Lake, I mean, all the shops are there. There's lots of little independent mom and pop. Curtis, you have something to say about
that's
this?
That's my hometown. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's beautiful. It's, you know, there may be a dark underbelly, you know, like Blue Velvet or something going on there, but it's just beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I like to run down the street and go, hey, Merry Christmas, Savings and Loan. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter.
And where's
Uncle Crystal Billy? Lake is, it's beautiful, Uncle Billy. Yes. Yeah.
But Crystal Lake is absolutely beautiful, and it's amazing that they have that theater in that downtown area. That, you know, and we've done our New Year's Eve show there many years.
Well, so speaking of that, we'll talk about the New Year's Eve show in just a minute. But you wanted to say something about the Rouse Center,
yeah,
Curtis?
I was going to say when one of the very first performers at the Rouse Center when it first opened was Bill Cosby. Back in the day, when he was still doing stand-up and he was touring, he was one of the first guys, because I guess back in the day he used to do local theaters to kind of promote them and try to get people to go to these local theaters. And when the Rouse Center first opened up, he was the first guy to step in and perform there. So a little bit of Rouse Center history for you here at 2:40 in the morning.
Well, I went to the Rouse Center for the first time earlier this month, and I couldn't believe how wonderful it is. A very nice place.
How is that the first time you've been out there, Rick?
It's amazing. We discussed that very thing. I don't know. I mean, they have a great lineup of entertainment, both famous. They play lots of classic movies. There's, you know, really nice restaurants in town. There was a restaurant we went to. Can I promote a restaurant in...
Yeah,
I went to Duke's Ale House there.
This is a great place.
Oh yeah,
Duke's. Yeah. One really good food. They're very green conscious and a great beer selection.
Yeah, Chris Lake Brewery is another place if you are.
But that's just a tap room, isn't it?
I know, but yeah. But you can still go there. You actually can order food and bring it there. Since it's just a brewery, so you can... another great pizza place in the Crystal Lake area is Giorgio's Deep Dish.
Giorgio's is good.
Yeah, Giorgio's is really good. You can bring a pizza there. Finn McCool's is another one in downtown.
Yeah, that's just down from the Rouse Center. I walked by there, yes.
My personal favorite is Da Buffone. It's an Italian restaurant right across, actually, the street from Duke's on that same side of the train tracks. Really great Italian.
Hey, Kurt... Hey, yeah. Curtis, is Two Chefs, or is it Two Chefs?
Yeah, Two Chefs Catering.
Yeah. Are they still there?
Yeah, I believe they're on Route 14 still.
Route 14, okay. Because they actually catered our New Year's Eve shows there for the 4 years we were there, and the food was phenomenal.
Yeah, they're spectacular.
Well, now you have a New Year's show coming up this year. Tell us about that.
New Year's Eve, this show. Now, have you ever been to the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove?
I have been to the Tivoli. That is
okay.
It's a very nice place.
Well, and I contacted them about 3 years ago. We moved from the Rau, and we usually stay about 4 years at each one. We were at the Hemmings Theater, at the Elgin, and what is it? What's the COD Theater? The Mac
the,
Center.
The Mac.
Like
the Mac. Yes.
Yes. So we were there for a while, and then we moved over to the Tivoli, and I chose the Tivoli because. That is one of the few movie houses that they redid, but they didn't break it into small theaters. They left the original theater. It seats 1,000 people. It's absolutely gorgeous. I think it was redone in the 75th anniversary. They're celebrating their 90th on Christmas Day. So that place has been open 90 years. And just coming to see the lobby is worth it, because that lobby is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, you've performed at places big and small throughout the country and the world.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever, when you walk on a stage like that, feel the entertainment ghost? Do you think about the history that took place in a building like that?
You know, that's a really, yeah, because downstairs in the green rooms, they have a lot of people that sign that. You know, it's funny, Curtis was talking about Bill Cosby, but the list of names that have performed at the Tivoli, I think Cary Grant did a one-man show there, and the list, it's like, wow, you know, this is kind of weird. It definitely, you do think about that, especially in that beautiful space. It's such a gorgeous theater, and that's right downtown Downers Grove, which, by the way, is similar to Crystal Lake with that, you know, that whole downtown area. It's a beautiful downtown area. A lot of restaurants, a lot of places to go. Right on the, I think Crystal Lake is right on the train goes right through there, doesn't it, Curtis?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the same thing with Downers Grove. But we moved over to the Tivoli about 3 years ago, and it has just been, God, it's just been so much fun. I look forward to it. It's for people who can't stay up till midnight.
And who's part of the bill?
Year.
Who's part of the bill this year?
Well, this is the best. Of course, Steve Cochran, because it's Cochran New Year's Eve. And I was in, God, I think I did radio 4 times this week in the morning show to promote this. And Rocky Laporte, who you know,
been on the Tonight Show and Colbert, and was absolutely hysterical.
He's worth and it. This He's year, worth it the, just for that.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, just go to see Rocky. But then we also have Dean Richards from WGN TV is going to be doing the show too. Well, who I think is absolutely hysterical.
He is very funny, and he really knows his entertainment. And
he really does. And we've got some stuff for him to do, so he's going to have a blast. And then Tim Banker. Tim, who started with Vince and myself and Mike Toomey, Tim has been our announcer for the last 5 years. He starts off the show and announces everything. So, yeah, it's just going to be. We have the Canterbury Carolers this year. That's our first choir that's coming out to sing as people get seated. So,
it's a whole holiday spectacular.
Pretty much, pretty much. And we have our big game show, the match game, and the prizes this year are pretty good. Let me just say that. So, a lot of WGN stuff, and we have actually a very special prize that I have to hide on stage. You don't even know what this is, Rick.
I don't know what this is. So
I don't want to give it away.
It's a reason for you to attend stage. Right now. It's reason for you to attend. How does people That's get right. tickets for this?
It's the easiest thing. It's all online. They just go to eventbrite.com, B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. Put in Steve Cochran. It pops up. Buy your tickets. And it's easy as that. And then when they come to the theater, the show's at 7. It's at 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve. We're done by 9. If you're going home, you can be home by 9:15. If you're going on to something else, you've got 3 hours to get wherever you're going. So, like I said, this is our 18th year we've been doing it, and it's a lot of fun.
Eventbrite.com. Just put in Cochran. You know, for people who might be, you know, a little leery, it's the easiest and safest way to buy tickets. It's not a problem.
Well, and not only that, it is really easy. It's just 2 clicks and you've got your tickets. And people always get worried, like, oh, I can't print out my tickets. It doesn't matter. Once you buy the tickets, you're on our list, and it's on the computer, and it's done. And it's never a problem. We've had great success with that the last couple of years. So this year should be our best year. I'm looking forward to it.
It's always a good year when you guys get together for a New Year's Eve spectacular. John DeCoss, thank you very much for joining me and helping me feel comfortable in this hosting role. So thank you very much for joining me.
I said this the other day. I want to hear more of you do this. I want to hear more of you doing this. You're great. You produce these shows. I know what you do behind the scenes, but this is good, Rick. You should do more of this. I'm telling you. So keep it up.
From your mouth to the management's ears.
So. Well, I've got that connection. Let me sit down with them. And talk
all
to
right. Well, thank you very much for joining. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Happy holidays to you, Curtis, as well. And thank Roger as well. Everybody there.
Thank you, John.
So that's John DeCoss. You can see him at the New Year's Eve Steve Cochran Spectacular at the Tivoli. You can get your tickets at Eventbrite. Thank you, John, for joining us. We'll be back on WGN right after this.
So where will Christmas be
Welcome back to WGN Radio. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer, joined in the booth by Curtis Koch, and on news, Roger Badish. Of course, we're going to be playing Christmas songs throughout the night, and that song, you may have heard, you may have not, one of my favorites from 1979, it is Christmas Time by the band Squeeze. You can go to YouTube. It's a great video, a lot of fun, and from a really underappreciated band. Now, one thing, I used to produce on this station, I used to produce the sports show on Saturdays and Sundays with Glenn Kozlowski and Jim Memolo. And one of the things we always talked about in this time of year are Christmas gifts. And the worst Christmas gift you've ever received, or more importantly, the worst gift you ever gave. And I'd love people to give us a call or send in a text at 312-981-7200, letting us know what the worst gift you ever gave or received. And one of the things that I remember most is that one of our news people at that time said she got her husband, she was so excited, she got her husband tickets to a prize fight. You know, I don't remember who it was, if it was Mike Tyson, but it was one of the big fights in the 1990s, a heavyweight title fight in Las Vegas. And then her husband gave snow tires.
Oh, no.
Snow tires.
No.
Yes. So, and then another person, just a caller called in to say that she got the husband a trip to some exotic location for the both of them. So, right. I mean, yes, you could say there was some selfishness there. But they were going somewhere special, and she got a Swiffer.
A
Swiffer.
You could buy that at the grocery store.
Well, that's probably what happened Christmas Eve. It's like, holy cow, I need to get something. Roger, I mean, you have horrible. 8 nights to get gifts.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I come from a mixed marriage, so we have been celebrating both holidays, and I've already bought my wife her Christmas gift. I think it's very nice. I'm not going to say what it is, even though she's asleep right now. It's two gifts, actually. So it's one to celebrate her heritage and another to celebrate her heritage and one of her current activities that she likes to do. So my theory on gifts is do not buy a gift that the person you're getting it for would normally buy on their own for everyday things. This has to be something special.
I think that's a great attitude about gift giving.
Yeah.
Curtis? You wanted to say something?
I was just trying to think of some of the... I don't think I'm a bad gift giver. I actually put a lot of thought into it. I won't say what I've gotten my folks and my sister and stuff this year for Christmas, in case they are listening. However, I don't mean to put out Mom and Dad on the spot, but one year, my sister and I I was probably 12 or 13, and my sister was probably 9 or 10. We got new bed sheets for Christmas, which is as a 12-year-old, you're kind of hoping for, like, you know, the newest video game or the newest toy or whatever. We got bed sheets.
Just plain bed sheets, or did they have like NFL helmets on it or something like that?
Plain white bed sheets. So, but I will say this, though, my parents have been pretty creative with like other gift giving stuff in the past. There was one year where they had a box that was on the outside, it was for like a new bed set, but you opened up the box and inside were the actual like toys and stuff that we had asked for Christmas. So the illusion was like, oh, you guys got, you know, a new bed set, you know, what a great gift or whatever. But then you open the box and it was kind
of... Well, this was after getting the sheets, so they probably realized the disappointment.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. Well, give us a call or send us a text at 312-981-7200. Let us know the terrible gifts you've received or the terrible gifts you've given. You don't think they're terrible at the time, but in retrospect, think about it. You know you've given a bad gift. We've all given bad gifts. Let us know. Purge yourself. Let it all out. Let's start the year out right and get it off your chest.
What about you, Rick?
I've given some, you know, I've been accused of giving some bad gifts. It's a bad year when you give out the coupon book.
Oh, yeah. Do they still sell those?
Oh, no. I mean the ones where you make it up and it's I will clean my room. I will take the garbage out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you just hope they get lost by March.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, you know, it's
this
cute when you're...
good for one free kiss.
Exactly. I mean, it's cute when the kid is like 5 or 6 and you're giving it to mom and dad. But when you're 35, it's... it's a cop out. So sorry, hon. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, is that what you got her this year?
Keep it quiet.
I'm
Keep
sorry.
It quiet.
Oh my
Keep
gosh,
it
sorry.
Quiet. I'm Rick Geezer. We're on WGN Radio. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. I hope you're having a great night's sleep, Dave. You can give us a call, send us a text at 312-981-7200. We'll be back right after this. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer on WGN Radio. We're playing Christmas music throughout the show today. I'll be on till 5 a.m. That, of course, especially if you live in England, you know that song. That is Slade singing the classic Merry Christmas, everyone. This song is such a monster that it's still a great big hit there after over 40 years. Before we went to the news, we were talking about terrible gifts that you've given and or received. And from our text line at 312-981-7200, we received a text from 847 that said, I ran out of time replacing the toilet seat while getting the house ready for our Christmas celebration. Mostly immediate family, relatives, etc. were coming over, so I wrapped it up and addressed it to my wife as another one of her presents, not thinking they'd still be talking about it to this day. So feel free to send us a text or give us a call at 312-981-7200. Let us know the awful gifts that you've given and or received. You know you've given them. You know you've received them. Now let's talk about it a little bit and get it off our chest so we can go into the holiday with a clear conscience and a clear sense of magic of the holiday.
You know, nothing says Christmas more than a new toilet seat.
Well, maybe it was one of those cushy ones. We don't know.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah. That's Roger Badish with the news. And one of the things that always, we think about what goes on in our little part of the world and the holiday traditions we may have with our family or within our community, within our neighborhood. But what goes on around the world? So I thought I'd call some friends of mine who live in England, and we'll find out how the holidays are going in England. And joining me now from the south of Great Britain, Andy and Spin. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Well, right there. Is that how you say the holiday, Happy Christmas, or is it Merry Christmas?
Happy Christmas.
Well, there's it. And why is it just the tradition there? Have people tried to have you say Merry Christmas?
I think we've picked up lots of things from you guys, to be quite honest. You know, Santa's slipping over here instead of Father Christmas, and lots of our ways are changing. So I think we're quite happy. The holiday season, everybody can do what they like, really. So there's Santa, and there's Father Christmas, and there's Merry Christmas and Happy Christmas. So whatever. Yeah.
Well, and Andy and Spin, I should mention, I've known them for a few years, and that's one of the beauties of traveling, is that when you travel around the country or around the world, you never know who you're going to meet. And my wife and I were taking a train, a lovely Virgin train, from London to Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival, and who were sitting across from us but these lovely people, Andy and Spin, and we had, I thought, one of the best times I've ever had on a vacation, and had just a lovely conversation, and we've been friends ever since.
Oh,
you're a legend, Rick. You're an absolute legend.
Well, and the
musical knowledge, it was amazing. What a trip.
Well, that we spent a lot of time about playing music, and that was one of the reasons leading into the segment I had our producer, Curtis, play the Slade song, Merry Christmas, Everybody, which, and I mentioned, is that not one of the biggest songs ever in England?
It's massive.
Yeah, we love Slade. It's got to be one of the best Christmas. It gets everybody up and dancing, and yeah, it still is very much number one.
Well, but that goes back to what we were talking about. It says Merry Christmas rather than Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll let them off that day.
well, tell us about some of the traditions that go on in Great Britain. How do you guys celebrate the holiday?
The holidays. Starting, as you know, I'm a teacher, so we've had lots of nativity shows and lots of carol services for the children and parents, and then we've finally broken up, and so Christmas Eve, lots of people will go to midnight mass earlier in the day. At 5 o'clock, usually there's something called a crib service, which is more sort of carols and a nativity for the children. And then Christmas Eve is actually Andy's birthday, so it's a bit of a double one for us. But the children hang stockings out, and they put mince pies out for Father Christmas, and a glass of milk or something a bit stronger. They leave a carrot for Rudolph, and then in the morning they wake up very early and charge down and find their stockings and presents. And depending on which family you're in, lots of people do things differently, but I know lots of families that used to not open their presents till after the Queen's speech at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, which is quite a tough one.
But, well, tell us about, Andy, what is the Queen's speech about? I was going to ask about that. Is that something that happens every Christmas Day?
It's every Christmas Day. It probably goes on for 5 to 10 minutes. She just talks about what's been going on in the UK in the last year and her thoughts for things for the next year and the Royals, what they're up to and the family and just everything to do with the UK, really, and the globe as well, really.
Well, does it get, again, we're trying to have a fun time on the show tonight. Does it get into the nitty-gritty of the political divisions and the Brexit stuff and all that going on over there?
Not too much, Rick. Not too much. No. The Spin might be able to tell you something better about that, but not really.
I think the Queen stays out of political debates. She's allowed to advise, but no, I think she would divide the nation if she dared mention the word Brexit. I don't think that will be in her speech this year.
But will she mention the new baby of Harry and Meghan Markle?
I'm sure she will. Yeah. The wedding earlier this year was massive, and everybody's so excited. You know that we hold our royals very, very highly, and Meghan has been embraced as part of our royal family, and we love her to bits. And very, very exciting with the new young royals. They are very much taking on board how I think Princess Diana would have been, you know, part of, you know, the people's princess. And, you know, both Kate and Meghan, I think everybody loves them, and the children that we've already got, you know, and the one on the way. Yeah, very exciting.
Well, is Meghan being an American accepted as a royal?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is, because she's that little bit older, already, she's got lots of life experience, and I think, you know, personally, my opinion is that because she's already been in the public eye so much, obviously on your side of the pond, she actually takes to things so naturally, whereas, you know, some people in the past have been, you know, obviously understandably so, it's quite daunting, but her experience has put her, she's got such a wealth of experience in the press and the public, and having, you know, just the way she is with people is just gorgeous. Yeah. No, we love her.
Well,
I hope you love Harry as much as we love Meghan.
Well, is she overshadowed Harry, perhaps?
I think we love the girls because everybody loves the other side of things as well, the whole fashion and, oh, what are they wearing? English press is terrible, so the first thing they always do is write somebody's name and then what they're wearing. But I think we see deeper than that, and the way she is, if you watch her on her walkabouts, you know, with the children and, well, with everybody, actually, it's just, she just oozes caring, and I think she's a really genuine person.
What was that, Andy?
Yeah, she's lovely.
She's very confident, Rick, very confident person, yeah. Yeah, she's good for the roles.
What do you guys think, you Andy, Spin, what do you think of her father trying to, you know, try to, and her half-sister trying to get her attention?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
I don't know. It's been in the press quite a lot, but it's mixed. It's mixed things, really. I don't know. With our press, I don't know, really.
I think Harry and the royal family will hold together and actually rally round, and whatever is right for her, you know, I really don't know. But I know Harry will want to protect her if there's any thought that they're going to try and upset her or do anything, or whether, I don't know. But we thought it was gorgeous at the wedding when Prince Charles, you know, really looked after Meghan's mum and things like that. I think they were, the rest of the royals will definitely be there for Meghan and whatever is right for her and what she wants to do.
Joining me on the air right now are my friends Andy and Spin, who live in England, telling us a little bit about what's going on there and their holiday traditions. Now, around where you are, and maybe throughout, do people decorate their houses with Christmas lights? Do they go all out like some American households?
I don't think we go quite as crazy as you guys. However, there are certain houses which stand out. And we personally haven't decorated the outside of our house. We're moving in about 3 weeks' time, so it's all a bit crazy here. But definitely on my drive home from work, you know, which is about an hour's drive, I go through lots of roads which have really big displays. We have... sometimes there are roads and houses that go all out, and then they have a grand opening even, and they have charity boxes out, and people come and actually donate to charity, you know, when they've seen the displays on their houses. So that's on the outside. Yeah, on the inside, you know, Christmas trees, definitely. We have holly and ivy and natural things, as well as lots of lights. And do you have mistletoe? In America?
We do, but I think it's more of a quaint thing at nowadays. I don't think, you know, people may put it up as a decoration, but more, you know, I don't think it's a thing like it used to be. But people can call in and tell me if they're doing the mistletoe.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, you have to hang mistletoe up, and then you have to, every time anybody walks under it, you have to give them a kiss, Rick.
I like that idea. I like that idea. I like that. All right, well, we're wrapping up with
You're missing a trick.
I hear it. I like the game. Andy and Spin from England. But before we let you go, I want to thank you for joining us and sharing some of your traditions with the Chicago audience. I need to ask Andy, what are you listening to right now? You're a big music fan. Anything I should be listening to or people here in Chicago should be aware of?
Yeah, the Smiths, Rick. I'm still big on the Smiths. REM still, as you know. The Who. Yeah, Quadrophenia. Anything like that.
Well, there is a bar here in Chicago that has a Smith/Morrissey night. They do it once a month, and it's very well attended, and it's a lot of fun. And you would really enjoy it.
I'll tell you what, Rick, we'll come over sometime because we want to go to Zany's, and it'd be nice to meet up with you again.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I want to thank my friends Andy and Spin for joining us on WGN Radio. Have a happy holiday and a happy Christmas.
God bless you, Rick. God bless America.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Happy Christmas to you. We've been sitting here listening to your show, and it's great, Rick. So we're going to carry on.
I appreciate it.
Okay, and sending you lots of love and hugs from England. And okay, then.
Same to you. As well.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to WGN Radio. We'll be back right after this.
In my mind, I can hear the streetcar bells, the sound of tires on the oyster shells. It's like music to my ears.
That is the amazing Irma Thomas singing It Ain't Christmas Without the Creole. You may know her from her original recording of Time on My Side, which, of course, the Rolling Stones had as a great big hit. And she's a New Orleans legend and just a wonderful, wonderful singer. We've been talking throughout the night about the worst gifts you've given, the worst gifts you've received, and I got a text here that said a friend of mine years ago told me that he got her a vacuum cleaner and long underwear. So from 440, please don't do that again. I know you're hiding the fact that's something that you gave out. Let's go to the phone calls, too. We've got Bill. He's got a worst gift he's ever received. Bill, thanks for listening to WGN.
Yeah, okay. My worst gift I ever got was I was 12 years old, and I had to go away to school because I have a vision problem. I had to go to the Indiana School for the Blind. I live in Indiana. And that Christmas in 1952, I'll never forget it, my brother, which is younger than I was, got an electric football set, and I got a set of luggage. I've never let my mother forget that.
That is pretty pretty interesting.
Yeah, I got the. In fact, I still have the luggage.
What happened to it?
It's in my closet here, and I've had it. Let's see, I just turned 79, so you know how long I've had it.
What happened to the train set?
The electric football set broke up.
Yeah.
It broke up right in my...
Is that long gone?
Oh, yeah, it's long gone, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So you made out in the long run.
Well, I didn't make out in the long run, but at that year, that was the worst gift I ever had. You know?
Well, thank you for contributing, Bill. We want to hear from you as well at 312-981-7200. You can call that number. You can text that number. There was a woman who called up a little earlier ago, didn't have time to wait around, but wanted to share. Curtis,
yeah,
you want to tell me what she said?
She called in while Andy and Spin were giving us the scoop on what's going on over the pond in UK. Patricia from Park Ridge, not really a bad gift, but it's a good gift. Her husband received a Mickey Mouse necktie from, I think, their kids. And he wore that necktie all over the place because it meant a lot, because it was the kids, when they gave it to him, were like 5 or 6. So it was a meaningful gift, and he always wore that all over the place. And that was what Patricia wanted to pass along.
Well, that's something about the holidays, and we can talk about that as well, is that the magic of the season, and we think about our children and our parents and our grandparents and the things they give us, and maybe not necessarily the gifts they give us, but the love they give us and the special bonding we have over a good meal, a shared story, a shared experience that just warm us throughout our lives.
Yeah, and I think even like the homemade gifts and like the more meaningful gifts are the ones that stick out more than others. My grandpa, for example, he did a lot of woodworking. And so when he 1 year made different like little things for my mom and myself, he made my mom, because we've grown up with German Shepherds in our household, the dogs. And he made my mom a 3D little, made out of wood, mounting of a head of a German Shepherd. Looks exactly like a German Shepherd. Custom made, no directions, no nothing. Just put it all together, and it's awesome. It's a great little piece of artwork that we have in our house, and he's since passed, but it's a great little...
But it's a remembrance. You have this forever. You think about fondly of your relatives, you fondly of the time you spent with him, and you have this little piece. And it keeps your relatives and your family members alive. I think about that often, about how, you know, we have these positive thoughts about family members and friends. I consider family, you know, the people we choose to be family as well, our friends. We keep them in our hearts, and they stay alive. They really stay alive if we think warmly of them.
Especially during the holidays, those memories come back up and they stick with you. Unfortunately, some families have to go through, like we were just talking about in the news story that's been going around with the two Chicago police officers. It's going to be a tough holiday for them, but it's also when you have family members that pass, you bring up those good memories, and that's kind of a way to celebrate their lives even though they're gone during the holiday season.
That's very true. Very true. Very good words, Curtis. You're listening to WGN Radio. I'm Rick Geezer filling in for Dave Plyer. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to WGN Radio. My name is Rick Geezer. Thank you for joining us. You can give us a call or text at 312-981-7200. We're taking some calls and texts on the worst gift you've ever given or received. Or if you just want to share a holiday story or tell us your favorite holiday song, we'd love to hear that as well. Coming up, we're going to talk to another friend about what's happening, holiday traditions in the Middle East. We're going to find out a little bit about what the holidays are like in Israel. And we'll find that out right after the news with Roger Badish. Of course, that's the voice of Freddie Mercury and Queen, and that's their Christmas offering called Thank God, Thank God It's Christmas. And we're just playing some Christmas songs that I love, and hopefully you may like and love some of them as well. Give us a call if you'd like to share some of your favorites, or tell us the worst gift you have ever received or given. From the 815, we got a text that she got a gift from her husband, and it was terrible, and it was a vaporizer. Top that, somebody. Let's see what other terrible gifts have been given out. A vaporizer. Can you believe that, Roger?
Yeah, no, that's... why would... That's wrong. For a Christmas gift, that's wrong.
Well, you gave your theory on what you think a gift should be.
Right.
And I agree with that.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times, you know, my wife and I, you kind of get into the rut where it's like, well, we have this, mm-hmm. we have everything, we don't want more stuff in the house. So, you know, there's some times when we've conspired and it's like, well, I'll get you the slippers, you get me the this. So,
right. But and that's nice, because you would have bought the slippers, or she would have bought the slippers anyway. Eventually, she would have wanted a new pair of slippers, but it's kind of nice that you agreed upon it ahead of time.
Right. And we're lucky that, you know, we're able to, you know, if we want something or need something, a lot of times we'll get it, you
right,
know?
Right.
So, but, you know, as Curtis was talking about the hand piece of art that a relative created for mm-hmm. him.
That's kind of neat.
That is so neat and so meaningful.
Yeah, my worst one was actually, Bridget and I were still dating. It was about just after we had met. So it was about a year and a half before we got married. And it was Christmas. Her family grew up on farms out near Galesburg. And so we were visiting one of the family's farms for a big family get-together. This was my first introduction to everybody. And somebody got me a huge, like maybe a 2-pound bag of roasted-in-the-shell peanuts. More than I would ever eat in my entire lifetime.
And you weren't going to a ball game?
No, not at all. No, and it was very unexpected. I didn't expect to get anything. I would have been okay with that. But then I got the peanuts, and I'm thinking, seriously, 30 people in the room, and you get me peanuts? Yikes, what did the guy before me get? I don't know.
Exactly. Well, one of the things we're talking about throughout the show is the different customs, holiday traditions and customs from around the world. And joining me today is my new friend, Claire, and she is in Israel. Thank you very much for joining us today, Claire.
You're welcome.
And you are a good friend of one of my good friends, and she suggested, because she was a little under the weather, that we talk to you.
Yeah.
So tell us, how do people celebrate the holidays in Israel?
Well, you know, Israel is a Jewish country, but there's also minorities. There's Islam, Muslims, and there's Christians, which are 2% of the population. Most of the Christians, we all speak Arabic, and yeah, we celebrate in some cities. Like, not, you don't feel the celebration in the whole country, but nowadays, like, since 10 years in Haifa, in the city where I was born, Haifa municipality, they arrange nice parades, and we have nice celebration for 1 month. They call it the Feast of Feasts because they also celebrate Hanukkah, which is the miracle of lights for the Jewish people. And sometimes Ramadan, the Muslim feast, sometimes it falls on December. So it's like a good, you know, a good reason to celebrate three feasts in one whole month. And it's like lots of fun during the month of December in Haifa.
So all the different religious groups basically have, or at some point or another, have a holiday tradition in December, and you borrow from each other's customs and you celebrate each other's customs?
Not really, but like in Haifa, you know, we walk in the street, you see Jewish, you see Arabs and Muslims and Christians and Druze, and we're all together in the same place, we're celebrating, and it's like a very nice and fun atmosphere, you know. We go to the same restaurants and coffee shops, and we sit together, and we have this nice feeling of, you know, celebration and lots of fun, you know. So, like, Haifa, it's different than other countries. You don't feel this like in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, but Haifa, you feel it's different. You really feel like it's so peaceful.
So,
but we don't really borrow customs, for instance. I come from the Maronite denomination, not Mennonite, but Maronite, Aramaic. This is where and they celebrate together with the Protestants according to the Western calendar. Yes, the Orthodox, they celebrate according to the Eastern calendar, Christmas on June 6th. But we celebrate, of course, with the Western, according to the Western calendar.
Are the holiday traditions basically religious based there, or do they become more secular with Christmas trees and Santa Claus? Is stuff like our Father Christmas, is that celebrated in your country?
It is indeed, but still, I must tell you that here in the East, even though we celebrate according to the Western calendar, on the 24th we have the Christmas Eve. So we have like dinner, family gathering, we enjoy fellowship. I will be fixing dinner this time. Also, we sing Christmas carols at home. Sometimes we have parties outside in some places. We do have Santa. Like nowadays, many families, many parents, they go to these toy shops and they, or other shops and stores, and they get gifts, and each store, they have their own Santa person who comes during Christmas Eve after dinner, and he gives away the gift that the parents already paid for. But also, we do decorate big, huge Christmas trees. Now you can see it all over the northern part of Israel, including Bethlehem. And I think Jerusalem and some Arab-speaking Christian neighborhoods. But we do focus on nativity, too. Like, we do fix nativity. Yeah, we have all Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the angels. So we have this kind of, we build nativities in almost every home. We focus more on nativity than the Christmas tree. But of course, no one will be, is no, nobody is going to give up Santa or the Christmas tree.
Do some of the old timers maybe lament the fact that Santa is encroaching into the religious aspects and the nativity aspects in your culture?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Do people still, do some of the old timers go, we should be just, we should be celebrating the nativity rather than Santa? Or has everybody come on board and Santa's a welcome addition?
Santa is always welcome. But no, we keep focusing on the nativity, but we also have Santa. Like, everybody loves Santa, Kids, they want Santa. They expect Santa to come and bring them gifts. I think most of them, they still want to, Santa to be part of this celebration.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here in Chicago on WGN Radio. This is Claire Akel from Israel, sharing some of the traditions that happen in her part of the world. Thank you very much, and happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to WGN Radio, and my name is Rick Geezer. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. Dave Plyer will be on, when will he be on, Curtis?
Sorry about that. Christmas Eve, Dave and I will be here. We've got a ton of fun stuff. We've got Peter Billingsley from A Christmas Story. He'll be joining us on the phone. We've got Johnny Mathis, the musical artist, on the phone as well. We've got a lot of fun stuff. We'll have Cardinal Blaise Supich, and if you have kids out there or grandkids, Santa himself is calling in.
And as we just heard, Santa is a major deal in all cultures. Everybody wants Santa.
Yeah, so if you're up in the morning and you're getting ready for all the Christmas Eve activities, you're definitely going to want to stay up and stay tuned, because we got a lot of fun stuff going on.
That sounds terrific. And just keep it right here on WGN Radio and give us a call, 312-981-7200, or send us a text. Either way, same number, 312-981-7200. One of the subjects we're talking about are the terrible holiday gifts you've either given or received. We've gotten a lot of really terrible gifts people have received, but a lot of great ones as well. So please send us a text or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be back right after this.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the
house. Hold it. That's played out. Hit it.
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. 'Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme.
What do you think of that? It's Christmas rapping. Some of you may know the song Christmas Rapping by the Waitresses, but that's Curtis Blow. Some people say that's the very first rap Christmas song from 1979. A lot of people know Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC, which is a great holiday song. But this is a song not a lot of people have heard. Curtis Blow, who's just one of the godfathers of hip hop and R&B. You wanted to say something about that, Curtis?
I was just going to say, I've never heard that song before, but I've been digging it a little bit here.
Curtis Blow is one of the true legends of hip hop. If you're into that, you got to check out some of his stuff and just how he influenced so many people. So thanks a lot for listening, everyone. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer on WGN Radio. One of the things we're talking about today are the terrible Christmas gifts we've given and/or received. And you can give us a call or send us a text. Our text lines are blowing up with this, so. You want to read one of them, Curtis?
Yeah, 224. We received 3 32-ounce jars of tart cherry juice from the in-laws this Christmas.
And well, then, I don't know. Maybe is that something you can't get, or is that?
I don't know. I mean, food in general. I mean, isn't that almost kind of like passing the fruitcake along? You know what I mean? I mean, like, not in that specific example, but I mean, if you get like a food for Christmas that you
and it was
really
an in-law
for,
too.
Yeah,
that was an in-law. Wouldn't you think they might up the game a little bit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's just a little lazy.
Hopefully, they gave their, you know, if there's kids involved, they gave their grandkids a little better gifts than they gave gave the son-in-law and daughter.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one off the text line. Is that my sister-in-law wanted bath stuff? My brother got her a toaster. So is that a joke, you know, throwing it into the bath or something like that?
I don't know. I think it is a joke because the 815 did respond. They said, actually, it was just a line I heard from a stand-up comedian. We're all good out here in the 815.
Ah, let's hear it for the 815. Yo, yo. Well, that's my homage to
Christmas rapping.
To Christmas rapping and Curtis Blow. Here's one from the 224. My new boyfriend suggested we do the 12 days of Christmas. And it was really exciting. Day 12, I got him a bathrobe from Marshall Fields. I got a stuffed animal. Day 11, he got slippers. I got a stuffed animal. 10, him, he got a leather briefcase. Me, stuffed animal. Day 9, she gave tickets to a Hawks game. What did she get?
Stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal. 8, car wash gift certificates. What did she get?
Stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal. It went on and on and on. Finally, on day 1, she gave a gold bracelet, figuring he'd finally come around and figuring, you know, what to do besides the stuffed animal. Well, he did get the hint, and he gave her 2 laundry baskets.
What?
2 laundry baskets, Roger. What do you think of that?
I'll take 2 laundry baskets. We need them, actually. Yeah, I would go for the laundry because it's, again, it's something you need that you might not buy. How long do you hold on to a laundry basket? Like, forever until it falls apart.
Well, until the handle falls off, but then you keep using the one handle. And
exactly.
The,
you know. Yeah. So, yeah, but still, it's telling you, but go ahead and get.
But still, that's a pretty bad.
All right. Yeah. That's days of Christmas. You get stuffed animals almost every other day, and the last day you get two laundry baskets. But you're giving Hawks tickets and, you know, all these other stuff.
All right. Well, yeah, that's kind of cheap. Yeah.
that's really, really cheap.
Yeah, that somebody needs to go to a gift-giving school. Learn how to do it.
Well, one of the gifts that, you know, a lot of friends of mine have been telling me that they're either getting or receiving, and I think, you know, and you guys tell me if you think it's a good gift or not, they're getting those DNA tests, not because they want to, like, go Maury Povich and find out if it's their child or not.
Right.
But, you know, like Ancestry.com to find out their heritage.
Yeah.
Or 23andMe, those type of things. Or they're getting subscriptions to Ancestry.com.
Mm-hmm.
I've just, so many people have been telling me that they're either getting or receiving that.
Yeah.
And something I've been thinking about, because my wife and I have for many years done genealogy.
Okay.
If you've gotten that gift or you have those services, what have you discovered within your genealogical record in your history? You know, have you
was
found
it what you expected?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, have you found kings and queens, or have you found outlaws and mass murderers and peasants? You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, of those genealogy shows.
Sure.
You know, Professor Gates had one on PBS, and there's a couple others on various networks,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They're always, you know, very fascinating, and, you know, and they get a celebrity, and you find out that, oh, you know, of course, they're related to Charlemagne. Of course they are.
Of course.
You know, nobody's related to the, you know, the shoeshine boy, you know?
I was going to say, my best friend growing up in high school, he found out he was... his family line is—he's a cousin, a distant cousin of Billy the Kid.
Ooh.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
I when we started doing our genealogy back in the '90s, my wife never knew what she was, where her family was from. She's from southern Indiana. I basically knew, my family is basically from around the Chicago area. We knew they came from Germany, they came from Croatia, they came from Ireland. We knew that type of stuff. We didn't have all the specific details. My wife knew nothing. So we found out there was an archive in southern Indiana, in Salem, Indiana, in fact, that had all these paper records, just this warehouse of paper records, and we're going through a database, and we found her father's name. And within one afternoon, she was able to trace herself all the way back to Pocahontas.
What?
And then additionally, from Pocahontas further into England.
Wow.
And found out there is a castle named after her family line that's still there in Bradford, England, Bowling Castle. I was happy if I found an additional great uncle or a great great uncle.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife's family, heritage in Ireland and England, and there's actually two volumes of books that trace the family back numerous centuries. So we know where her family came from. This was like pre-ancestry.com that they did this. Mine, my dad and my uncle kept trying to trace it back. They did a little ancestry.com, and I've done a little, but they haven't gotten past about 1830. They haven't gone past that, and nothing spectacular.
Well, that's the same with my family. And again, my, you know, a lot of my family, my dad's mother and that line, mm-hmm. were all from Russia pre the communist.
Uh-huh. Right.
So those records are pretty much non-existent anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we will.
Are you going to do the DNA thing?
Well, we've done the DNA.
Oh, you have.
Thing,
and okay.
I do, right. and I found out a lot of very interesting things, and we can talk about that.
Okay.
Maybe after the news, because the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on AM 720 WGN Chicago. A little holiday rock and roll for this morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer here on WGN Radio. You can give us a call or send in a text at 312-981-7200. One of the things we've been talking about throughout the morning are the terrible gifts you've either given or received. And earlier we read a text from the 224 that said they were doing a 12 day of Christmas and she was getting her husband, her boyfriend, all kinds of terrific stuff. And he kept giving her stuffed animals. And finally on the 12th day, laundry baskets, terrible gifts. We've got a text from 262 that says that woman who got the stuffed animal and the laundry basket needs to get herself a new boyfriend. Are you looking for a new lady, Curtis?
Yeah, I've been single for like the last 6-7 months, so yeah, sure, I'm in the market, I guess.
Well, what kind of gift do you think you would give for this first Christmas for a new amour?
It depends upon how long we're dating, I guess. Like, I guess first things first, like if we're just started dating, I know bath bombs and like, you know, a lot of like bath products, like soaps and like really good smelling like lotions and stuff like that. Probably like a little like care package of some sort of mixtures of stuff like that. That's what I did in my last relationship and she absolutely loved it. So, I'd probably go with that for round two, I guess, depending upon again how long.
But now,
dating.
If you've known her for a little bit longer, you have to up the game.
Yeah, probably something a little bit more serious. If I knew what sort of stuff she was into, like jewelry wise, maybe get her a bracelet or something like that. a little more higher end sort of stuff if we've been serious for a while. But not stuffed animals for 8 straight days and then 2 laundry baskets.
I don't think little kids need 8 stuffed animals. They're 12 stuffed animals, yeah. You know? Come on. You're listening to WGN Radio. Please, if you've got a comment on this or want to share the awful gifts you've received or given, give us a call or send us a text at 312-981-7200. We also brought up the subject of ancestry and doing your genealogical research. What kind of things did you uncover? Do you have kings and queens in your family, or do you have paupers and outlaws and ne'er-do-wells? Sometimes the ne'er-do-wells are a little bit fun. In fact, I was doing some research, and I found the very first geezer that came into the country lived in Aurora, and at one point, we found in a newspaper article that he was arrested. He was a night policeman, which was basically the businesses would hire you to check the locks on the doors and make sure things were fine. And he and one of his companions went into a tavern and made themselves a sandwich and had a beer. And they were arrested. But that's the type of things you'll find. You'll let us know some of the things you found at 312-981-7200. Right now, though, we're going to change the subject a little bit because as we're talking about all this holiday stuff and the excess of the food and the drink, we've got New Year coming. And, of course, everybody tries to have some sort of a resolution. And if they don't actually have a resolution, they try to, you know, it's a new day, so maybe they try to do some new things to get healthy, to get happy. And to help us do that today, we're going to talk to my friend Donna Fatigado, who is a certified personal trainer. She's a holistic nutrition coach, and she's a group fitness instructor. She's been doing this for over 30 years, and she has a new book out, and we'll tell you how to get that a little bit later, called Q2, A Healthy Recipe for a Balanced Life. Donna, thank you for joining us on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Rick.
Tell us how, what do we do wrong when we're trying to set up a resolution or try to, are we doing something wrong that these resolutions don't stick?
Well, yes. First of all, you have to have some clarity. And clarity goes way beyond being, you know, clear of your goals. You need to declutter your mind. You need to sort everything out. You need to figure out what your goal is. And then you need to find some balance in your life to be able to reach those goals. And then, on top of that, instead of, a lot of people are looking for resolutions. They're looking to figure out what they need to do. But the way to do that is to change. You need to find a solution. We look so much for a resolution, but we need to find a solution. What works for you? Because what works for you may not work for me. What works for me may not work for the next person. So you have to take in, you have to take, you know, your life, and you need to declutter it. You need to find out where you can fit all of these changes in your life. That's when it's truly going to stick and it's going to come into play for you.
Well, what if somebody says, I do want to make changes, I do want to get healthier, I do want to lose weight, you know, whatever the goal is, but they say, well, I can't declutter my, you know, I'm a busy person. I've got obligations at work, I've got obligations at family, and it just is too tough. Is that a cop-out?
No, it's not a cop-out at all, and I hear it all the time. It's kind of like a bad record skipping over and over again, seriously. In order to, you know, you really have to want it. You have to figure out what your why is, what your purpose is, what you want to do. How do you see yourself? What kind of quality of life do you want to live? If you look at it that way, if you know what your why is, and if you know what kind of quality of life you want to live, then you will find a way to make it important to you to live a healthier life.
Well, to find that why, does somebody have to, for lack of a better word, hit rock bottom? Do they need to do something like that, or can they just say, you know what, I'm tired of feeling tired. I'm tired of carrying this extra weight. I want to be happy. I need a new relationship. You know, are those the things that you're talking about?
Well, it could change from one person to another. I mean, it could be different, obviously. You know, it depends. It depends. Like for myself, the reason why I got into wellness was because of my genetic background. I didn't want to succumb to it. I knew what my pipeline had, what kind of hereditary medical conditions that were occurring in my family. And I saw my dad suffer. I saw people in my family suffer, and I did not want to suffer. Now, we can't control that, but we can make better, healthier choices in order to kind of derail that. So it could be that. It could be everybody is going to be different. I actually wrote in my book 10 different stories of 10 different clients because they each have their own story. So we're all going to have our own story, but you just need to recognize, you know, what your habits are today, what kind of quality of life you want to live, and then take steps in order to live a better quality of life, whether it be you seek help from assistance from somebody else, you try a new way of living, you incorporate some type of exercise during your day, you know, but I do believe that nutrition, exercise, and mind all go hand in hand. You have to have you have to start making changes in all three of those areas. They could be something very simple, like, for instance, taking the stairs instead of the elevator, parking your car farther away in the parking lot, you know, incorporating your fruits and vegetables into your day every day, thinking about eating colorful, you know, and mind. Give yourself some mind time. You know, it's really
what does that mean? What does that mean, mind time?
Explain mind time that. Means, you know, pick up a book and read it, or maybe it's just sitting down and just closing your eyes and just, you know, forgetting about your day, your errands, your tasks, your responsibilities. It doesn't have to be long, but if we just like shut off our mind, close our eyes, even if we close our eyes for 10 seconds and just thought about, okay, just let's forget about our day, our errands, our tasks, our responsibilities. Let's center ourselves, put the positive back in, let all the distractions come out, and push away all the negative. You know, you open your eyes and you just want to go, and you just want to go, that was really nice. That was only 10 seconds. I mean, if we just give ourselves some time, because people do have so much running around to do. We wear so many different hats. We're here, we're there, and myself I am too, but it's where you need to center yourself and you need to find balance within yourself.
So the main goal then is we individuals need to prioritize themselves and find that time to give back to themselves. Find that time to sit and be silent, or to read, or to reflect, rather than work on a task. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, of course, you always want to work on your tasks, but absolutely. I mean, just take time to center yourself. You know, it could be, you know, further education and anything that's going to stimulate your mind. I mean, we live in such a technology world, and even the communication between people, you know, is so different nowadays. It's really important to, you know, to bring that. To bring yourself together and try to, you know, stay away from, you know, from all the distractions. We just have so much more nowadays, and it's you see it. You see, like, I mean, I noticed that, you know, children don't even play as much outside anymore. You know, it's just really important to, you know, make time for yourself. You know, I just got back from California, and I went to the playground with my niece, and we just swung on a swing, and it was just so relaxing and just so like simple, and you know, just I felt like I was just so centered. Of course, I was away, and you know, of course, I was more relaxed anyway. But you know, just some of the simple things in life. So it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be meditation, it could be reflection, it could be anything that you're going to be able to turn off your mind and clear it.
So the main thing you'd let me rephrase maybe, and you correct me if I'm doing it wrong, but people need to declutter their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They need to eat better. They eat vegetables, eat colorful, and they need to move more.
Absolutely.
And those would be are the three steps to a healthier lifestyle in Europe.
Absolutely. I mean, yes. In simple terms, yes. I always say, no, just move your body. You know, I really emphasize on eating colorful. You know, because if you think about it that way, and I'm not talking about Skittles or M&M's, people out there.
Oh, I was going to say, Cheetos,
not,
Cheetos.
Yeah, nope. I'm thinking, you know, more other things that's more plant, you know, things that come from our earth and our tree. You know, that's super important. I mean, you know, that's where our food sources mainly come from. So, you know, rather than the man-made foods that are, you know, all over the grocery stores, you know, you want to go more with the fresh foods, earth, tree, land, and sea.
Well, that is good advice, especially as we're getting into January and people try to prove themselves and try to become healthier. Donna Fatigato, thank you for joining us. She is the author of Q2, A Healthy Recipe for a Balanced Life. Where can you get that book, Donna?
You'll be able to get it on Amazon, and it will be available in Barnes & Noble and quite a few other places in 2019. But right now, you could go on Amazon and just Google Donna Fatigato or Q2, A Healthy Recipe for a Balanced Life.
And Fatigato is spelled Fatigato. And
yes.
The book is Q2, A Healthy Recipe for a Balanced Life. Thank you very much, Donna, for joining us. I know you had a balanced life because when I called you earlier today to discuss this appearance, you were in the middle of baking cookies.
Yes, I was. I have an annual tradition with my daughter, and you know, she's 31 and married now. But you know, we every year we make at least 10 different types of cookies, and yeah, there's no way we're going to give that up for sure. And it's all about balance. So you know, it's about balance. So you know, some of the cookies I make healthier now, and some of them are the same old recipes. But you know what? We balance that with lean protein to balance out the sugars and. You know, that's about it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Donna Fatigato, the author of Q2, A Healthy Recipe for a Balanced Life. Thank you for joining us, and have a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Rick. You have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on WGN Radio. My name is Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer.
Christmas is the time to celebrate.
Christmas is the time to say I love you. That's Billy Squire. That's a song you don't hear too much about anymore, but that's a classic from the early MTV era and one of my favorite holiday songs. Hopefully it's one of your favorites as well. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer here on WGN Radio. You can give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. One of the things we've been talking about throughout the show are the terrible gifts we've given or received. And we got a text here from 847 that says, my sister gave me a dozen bars of soap, non-scented. I take a bath every day, but I think the gift was re-gifted. Terrible gift. Let's see what you have to give, what you've been given, or what you have given away as well. And many of you may have heard me on the air. I'm on with Nick DiGiulio regularly playing sports songs performed by athletes. And I was on earlier this week playing holiday songs, songs that athletes have performed about Christmas and the holiday season. And the one that probably is my all-time favorite. I know it's Nick's all-time favorite. Is a song by NHL Hall of Famer Johnny Bauer. It's called "Honky the Christmas Goose," and I'd like to play it for you right here.
Honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use till he learned how to blow his nose. Honk the way a goose nose blows. After that, and just for fun, it was a simple matter. He would blow his honky horn to see the people scatter. Cars and planes and trucks and trains would get out of his way. And when they heard that honky horn, this is what they'd say.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use. The way a goose nose blows.
Christmas Eve was bright and clear, no trouble was inside. But up in space a traffic jam gave Santa Claus a fright. With rockets, kites and satellites and nooks and dogs and all, his team of tiny reindeer were slowed down to a crawl.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose got so fat that he was no use till he learned how to blow his nose. Honk the way a goose nose blows.
Santa sure was worried for the children on his list. He had to get a move on or their stockings would be missed. Just then he heard a honky horn a-coming down the sky, and everything moved over to let the sleigh go by.
Oh, honky, honky, the Christmas goose, though he's fat, he's still some use. Christmas sleigh, he honks his horn to tell the world that Santa Claus is on his way.
Honk. Honky the Christmas Goose by Johnny Bauer. What do you think, Roger? You love that
you
song.
You know I love that song. You've been playing that for so many years. When you go on with Nick and play your holiday sports songs with him, which you just did, like, what, about a week or so ago?
I did earlier in the week,
yeah.
Yes.
And that is always the penultimate Christmas song in your collection.
It's according to Nick, he needs that song every year,
yep,
to truly give himself the holiday spirit.
Yeah, great song.
So, Honky the Christmas Goose. Thank you, everyone, for listening so far. We've got another half hour to go, a final half hour to go. I'm Rick Geezer, filling in for Dave Plyer. We still want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Let us know the terrible gifts you've received or the terrible gifts you have given. Plus, coming up, we're going to do This Week in History. Plus, we're going to hear the Walter Jacobson perspective. We've got a whole lot to do and a little less than a half hour, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. Now, here's Roger Badish with the news.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, "Don't see another one."
One of my most favorite Christmas songs of all time from one of my all-time favorite bands, The Pogues. That's Fairy Tale in New York. In fact, just earlier this season, Jimmy Fallon recreated this song on the air with, I believe he did it with Emily Blunt. And it was a really nice version of that song. And thank you for joining us. We've been having a holiday spectacular, talking a little bit about the terrible gifts we've given and received. And in the 312, we got a text that says, "When I was 8 years old, I received a Guy Lombardo record from a relative. I didn't even know who Guy Lombardo was. Terrible gift." I agree. Terrible gift, Curtis?
Yeah, that's bad.
Terrible gift. So feel free to send in some texts at 312-981-7200. But I know around this time, a lot of people are used to Dave Plyer does a thing called This Week in History.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
The circus is on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.I.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Filling in for Dave Plyer, Rick Geezer, but of course, Dave Schwann is here. Good morning, Dave.
Yes, I'm here. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, I know you're a little under the weather, so we'll coach you through this. But I know you are a fountain of knowledge, so we're going to talk about some of this stuff. Curtis has provided some things that happened this week in history, and let's just have a little conversation about it.
I have a question before we begin. You don't like Guy Lombardo.
You know what? I remember Guy Lombardo's New Year's. I'm old
that
enough
was
to remember
standard
that.
Version. Of Auld Lang Syne for I don't know how long.
Yeah, but I, you know, when you're a kid, I don't think the album you want.
Not when you're 8 or 9 years old. No, you're right.
So
I'm just saying that was the standard version. You heard that for years.
For years, Auld Lang Syne by him. Any terrible gifts you gave or received, Dave?
Oh, let me see. Yeah, well, some over the years, just some music I wasn't really interested in. You know, people knew that I enjoyed all different types of music, and they would give me some stuff, and I would say, well, thank you very much. I never re-gifted, though. You know, I never gave it away to somebody else.
Well, that's big of you. Do you still have them in your record collection?
I do, yes. You do? I do. They're collecting dust.
Well,
but,
name one record that you got that you, wasn't really your cup of tea at the time.
All right. Kenny G. just say it.
Yes.
I'll just say it.
That he's become quite the butt of jokes.
Yeah, he has.
So, well, let's go through some of these week in history things that we've got here. Let's see. Number one, we've got on this date in 1888. You remember that year? I don't.
I was eight or nine.
Oh, okay. A Dutch painter named Vincent van Gogh, or do you say Gak?
Van Gogh. Everybody says Van Gogh. Yeah. Everybody says Van Gogh.
Suffering from severe depression, cuts off the lower part of his left ear with a razor while staying in France. He later documented the event in a painting titled Self-Portrait with a Bandaged Ear. Today, Van Gogh is regarded as the artistic genius, and his masterpieces sell for record-breaking prices. However, during his lifetime, he was a poster boy for tortured, starving artists and sold only... Do you know how many paintings, Dave?
One painting. For his whole lifetime. A couple original Van Goghs are in the Art Institute of Chicago.
They have a wonderful collection. Yeah. If you have not gone there, and I know a lot of people say, hey, you know, that's not my bag. I don't really want to look at paintings. But it really is an uplifting and a kind of an empowering experience to see these great artists. And
you know what you can do when you go to the Art Institute, and if it isn't your thing, you know what you can do is just walk around. I think they still have a free day or a free evening. That's always been a tradition with them. Or if you go with somebody else from out of town, let's say you have company that comes in from out of town, they want to go to the Art Institute, go and just walk around and take a look at stuff. And you don't have to like everything that's there, but something might catch your eye and say, hey, that's interesting.
Or just check off a few that you want to see.
Yeah.
You know, go and see a Picasso that you read about when you were in grade school. Go and see, you know, that Sunday in the Park with George, you know, that painting by Seurat.
That was the inspiration for Sunday in the Park with George.
Exactly. Or go see my favorite always was, always are, and when I go, I love the George O'Keefe's.
Sure.
And I know over the one stairwell, you have Sky Above Clouds is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, Rick, if you like Georgia O'Keeffe, you have to go to Santa Fe to the O'Keeffe Museum there.
I have never gone there.
You need
there.
To go. It's cool. And then go to her house, which is about an hour and a half north of Santa Fe. It's unforgettable.
And do they have the artwork there as well, or it's just
some of it?
You see the landscape that she.
You see the landscape that she was inspired by, and where she lived, and what she did, and that sort of thing. Yes, but most of her original stuff is in the museum in downtown Santa Fe. But if you're into it, and you're at out that part of the country, go.
That sounds terrific.
You'll like it.
Let's go throughout the list and see what else has happened this week in history. This happened in 1913. The U.S. Congress passed the Federal Reserve Act, establishing the Federal Reserve System to serve as the nation's central bank. Chief responsibilities include execution of monetary policy, influencing the lending and investing activities of commercial banks, and overseeing the cost and availability of money and credit. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think?
Well, it depends. That was also about the same time they passed the federal income tax, establishing the IRS. About that time, there wasn't an annual IRS payment up until that point. But the Federal Reserve was established, and probably it centralized everything because money was kind of scattered in various parts of the country, I guess, in the 19th century. But that kind of centralized things. We have a branch of the Federal Reserve here in Chicago. And the other thing that concerned people much later in the 1970s was going off the gold standard, what that did. You know.
Well, it's interesting, speaking of that, how even, you know, politicians nowadays, recently, they still talk about, going back to the gold standard.
Yes, they do.
And that's something that pops up every few years. And is that something that should be seriously discussed? What do you think, Dave?
Well, at least discussed. I guess it threw people off because we were always on the gold standard up until, I think, the Nixon administration. I think it was Nixon that took us off the gold standard. But it's been discussed now for, off and on for 40 years. With the government shut down, I think we have a lot more pressing issues to talk about right
now.
That is
true, exactly.
And late reports are that they don't know how long this is going to go.
And speaking of, we'll get back to that in just a second, but with the Y2K thing happening, several years ago, everybody started to want gold. And you still hear commercials on various places, on TV, radio, in the news about, buying gold, have an actual asset.
Yeah. Boy, you remember that? All that hue and cry about everything was going to crash and burn, computers were going to fail, and people were packing up food and headed to the mountains.
Well, I didn't actually, believe it, but we just had my son was born just prior to that, so I was hedging my bets, so I bought some water, and we bought some extra food. We didn't go the full survivalist pack and have all that, the extra food, but we made sure we had some cash and had candles. So I guess I was just as nutty as some people, but who know? I mean, especially nowadays, we keep hearing all these viruses and hacks, people hacking into our personal information. Maybe it's something we need to think about.
Yeah, especially with the hacking. Yes, definitely. I did a story around, the end of 1999. Interviewing someone in the banking industry about what would happen if there was a problem. And, they were saying that banks were making every effort to make sure that things would not happen because online banking was maybe not to the degree that it is today, but it was up and running. And that would have been a problem if things failed or if you couldn't access your money through an ATM.
That's true. Let's go down the list. In 1947, the transistor was invented at Bell Labs by John Bardeen, Walter Brattain, and William Shockley, who shared the Nobel Prize for their invention, which sparked a worldwide revolution in electronics. Now, a lot of kids don't know what the experience
of
listening to a transistor radio is, but wasn't that the best thing to have that radio?
It was the best, and if you had an earpiece with it, You were in like Flint.
Exactly.
That was really boss, man.
That was boss. It was Boss. Let's should we go to birthdays now?
Sure.
Let's go a few birthdays. Mormon prophet Joseph Smith was born in Sharon, Vermont. He founded the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. And was killed
here in Illinois.
Yep. Yep. He was imprisoned when they were on their way west and settled in what is now Nauvoo, Illinois, and was imprisoned. And I think they burned the prison or something like that, but they raided the prison and he was murdered. And then everybody, they packed up and left and ended up in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, and that town now is a major tourist destination.
It is a shrine for them. It is a tourist destination. It is a center for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they welcome visitors. You can't go into the tabernacle. When that first opened, they did open it up to the public for a little bit, but then it was closed and closed permanently. But unless you are of the Mormon faith, it's just something you stand outside and look at.
I've never been there myself. Have you been there?
No, I haven't, but I have been to the tabernacle and the center in Salt Lake City a long time ago. That's the case there, too. It is a huge building. It looks like the National Cathedral in Washington.
Well, the photos of the pictures of Nauvoo, it looks so interesting how the buildings and how they've been preserved.
Oh, yeah.
And because basically the town was abandoned and kind of left for as a ghost town for years.
Yep.
Another birthday this week, Japanese Emperor Hirohito was born in Tokyo. He was Japan's wartime emperor and was allowed to remain in his position after the war.
He signed the treaty with Douglas MacArthur on the USS Missouri to end World War II.
And I'm looking at this, and the birthday said he was born in 1901, and he died in 1989. I didn't realize he had lived that long.
Yes, and they had an extended funeral for him. He was, you know, very much revered, even though Japan lost the war under his watch. He was still very much revered. They had extended funeral ceremonies and events for him before he was finally laid to rest. But, he died in 1989. Lived a long time.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. This was This Week in History, and we'll be back right after this.